in my blessed Lord I see.
You may be seated. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We want to look at our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. We should have a relationship with God, and it should not be an estranged relationship. It should be a relationship that is very personal to each one of us. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do have a personal relationship with God. Because Jesus Christ is God. Not only is He His Son, but He is God Himself. And Paul, as he was writing to the Roman church, makes a statement in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And let's look at those for just a minute. Paul makes his statement. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Today it is very unusual for people to live by faith. We have developed habits. We have relied upon ourselves to provide for ourselves. And it's very unusual to have a person actually live by faith. We know we're supposed to, but life gets in the way. And there are all kinds of aspects of life. Paul, in his letter to the Roman church, makes it a very concise statement about the association with Jesus Christ, and so it's foundational to every believer. If you are a believer this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ, what Paul says here is very important. We need to be sure of our personal application of God's word. We were all born sinners, all of us. There are no exceptions to that. Nobody was born into a Christian family and that makes them a Christian. That doesn't work that way. We have all, because we are sinners, received a call from God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that call came through the Holy Spirit as He brought conviction to our hearts that we were sinners. And some of us have responded to that as individuals. We've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust that you have. And if you have, you will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's amazing how many Christians want to be secret Christians. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want anybody else to know about it. And so this morning, as we use these two verses, we need to make sure that we are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are doing all in our power. There's a reason for our being here. You all have a purpose, and that purpose is given you by God. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your purpose is the same purpose He gave Adam and Eve. You're to make more Christians. They were to make more people. And you are to make more Christians. That's why you're here. And if you're not doing that, then you are not being obedient to God. Usually by the time that a person becomes an adult, they've developed habits that control their actions and their desires. As individuals, we think that we are in control of our lives, and many people have a plan for their life, how they're going to conduct their life, what they're going to do. Normally, when a person makes plans for life, they don't pay any attention to what God's plans might be. And so this morning, we want to make sure that our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and our personal relationship with God is included in our everyday plans. For many, we've not had a whole lot of spiritual input in our lives before we were saved. Many of us did not grow up in Christian families. We did not have Christian input, spiritual input into our lives. We grew up being taught that the right thing for us is to make a profit and to achieve our goals. If being what we would call, the world would call, religious would help, then that was included in our plans. But we were being religious for that purpose only. I knew a man. He was an insurance man. He had his membership in 11 churches in Greenville, South Carolina, all at the same time, because that was his client list. And he was trying to profit from his religiosity. I don't know that the man ever came to know Jesus Christ. That's not why we know Christ. We know Christ because we have to be able to do something with our sin. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can do away with our sin. He is the only way to get rid of our sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ, once we understand who he is, becomes a new authority for us. It's an authority that we haven't included before in our activities, before we're saved. The choice that we have to make is not whether or not it's true or false, because that's not ours to decide. God gives us the truth, and that is all he gives us. He does not give us any falsehood. He does not lie to us. God cannot lie. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. And so what God gives us is the absolute truth. And we find that in his word. So his word becomes our authority. And it has to be our authority. There is nothing else to take its place. When we're confronted with the truth of the gospel, it does not matter what our prior affiliations were. The gospel is the supreme authority in the universe. Our soul's at stake. And unless we accept the gospel and believe on the gospel, our soul will be lost. And so we have a job to do. All of us, we need to share the gospel with the world, because there is not very much gospel left in this world. It seems like it's very easy for everyone to lie right now. Our government lies to us about almost everything. They make promises that they don't keep. They expect us to be obedient to them in spite of what God says. And so, folks, we have to make a decision that the authority that we're going to have in our life is not going to be the federal government. It's going to be this book, the Word of God, the Bible. we do have an option. The option is to rebel against the Word of God, but it's not an option for the Christian. Once we know what the Bible teaches, and I hope by now we all do, this is not an option. We can never be the same that we were before the gospel became a part of our life. The Apostle Paul had submitted to the gospel of Jesus Christ because he had met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You and I have not had that privilege to personally meet Jesus Christ, but through God's Holy Spirit, you can meet him. Through God's Holy Spirit, you can know him. Through God's Holy Spirit, you can obey him, and you can take the path that he would prescribe for you. Paul knew that he could not deny the truth once he had met the Lord Jesus Christ on that road. He gave us Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Prior to that time, he had been persecuting the church. For it is the power of God unto salvation, and God has the power to save you. He has the power to save you from your sin. He has the power to keep you from sinning. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew, yes. To the Greek, yes. For it is the righteousness of God, and it is revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to hear about faith to faith? Well, we all start out with a little bit of faith. And God wants to add to that. And so he wants you to go from that faith to a much larger faith. A faith that believes that God can do anything you need to have done in your life. And so when Paul talks about from faith, it's revealed from faith to faith, that we are to live by faith, you should have, as you are a Christian, you should grow in your faith. It should not stay the same. It should grow. And that's why we advocate reading the Bible every morning, because how do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so that's why we meet here in the mornings, on Sunday mornings, and Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. I like to think, and I did think before I was saved, that I was in control of my life. Little did I know, God was looking out for me. God was watching over me, because God was going to call me to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He did the same thing with each of you. There was a time when he called to you, come to me. Come get to know me. Come receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you went and you saw who he was. And you accepted him as your personal Savior. And he forgave your sin. He took it away. He made you a child of God. And that's what you are this morning. If you know Jesus Christ. If you do not know him, you are not that. But Paul tells us that this gospel, this Bible, this Word of God, is the power of God unto salvation. You have to believe what this book says before you can be saved. What is salvation? Salvation is the opposite of what we were. We were sinners, condemned to hell because of our sin. And the gospel shows us how we can have forgiveness of our sin, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have sin in our heart, and there's nothing we can do about it. What do you have you can pay for your sin? As we're studying the book of Micah, the people of Israel were trying to earn their way to God. They were offering their children in sacrifice to get God's attention. That won't get you God's attention. There's nothing you can pay because Jesus Christ already paid for it. Most of us here this morning have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We've done that. We've placed our faith in what Jesus Christ did when he lived upon this earth. Jesus was God in human form. He did what God required in order to forgive our sins. All those who have believed on Jesus have been forgiven and their souls have been saved. And if you're here this morning and you have asked Jesus to save you and to forgive your sins, then you can count right now that God will forgive your sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. It doesn't matter who you are. God will forgive you if you ask, believing what God has told us in the gospel about Jesus Christ. Why should anyone be ashamed of the power of God working in their life? Why should anyone be ashamed of the gospel? The gospel is what we can place our faith in and be saved. The Bible is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the personification of the Word. I'd like for everyone to look at verse 17. God loves everyone. For in herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You are included in God's love this morning. The gospel that has been preached and taught in this church for years is a narrative of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've explained how a person can place their faith in Jesus. Verse 17 tells us about faith to faith, and we want to address that expression right now because it's important to our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Faith comes in different kinds. There's a misplaced faith that has nothing to do with God, such as when you walk into a room and flip on a light switch and there's no power there to turn that light on. We've all done that at one time or another. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's little faith. There's no faith, misplaced faith. There's little faith. And that's probably because doubt is prominent. There's saving faith that causes us to place our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. There's a kind of faith that causes us to go forward for God's purpose. And there's a kind of faith that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 18 through 20 says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed from him. I want us to think about this. Every one of us has experienced temptation of one kind or another. Jesus Christ experienced that same temptation to prove to us that even as a human, he could resist it. But I want us to look at this temptation in Matthew 17. Turn there, if you will, Matthew 17. This is a very important thing for all of us to know. In Matthew 17, 18 through 20, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out from him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said to him, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." There was a temptation for the disciples. I'm sorry, I got into next week's message. The disciples came to Jesus. They had tried to cast out a devil and could not do it. Now, folks, we still have demons around this morning. Many of them are up in Washington, D.C. They really are. And we're not in a position to cast them out. But Jesus is. God is. The Holy Spirit is. But the disciples had tried to cast a devil out of a young man. And they couldn't do it. So the father of the young man came to Jesus. And the disciples wanted to know why they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, because they had little faith. They had doubt. He told them if they had genuine faith, that they could talk to a mountain. Now, there's no mountains around Charleston. In fact, there's not even many hills, but no mountains. When's the last time you moved a mountain? Oh, ye of little faith? I hope you've got more than that. You know, there's more than one kind of a mountain. There's illness. There are circumstances that you may find yourself in and you don't know how to maintain your testimony and overcome the circumstance. Your faith is the means to do that. Depending upon the point that we are at in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we will have a certain level of faith. And the more time that we spend in the Word of God, the more faith we will have, because it tells us in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you are reading the Word every day, your faith should be growing every day. And when you encounter a mountain, you shouldn't panic and run. You should trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You should trust God to bring you through it. Not necessarily the way you tell him to bring you through it, because we're not supposed to tell God what to do. He knows better than we do. But he will bring us through it. And because a person reads the Word every day, their faith grows. Your faith will tell you that what God promises, he will keep those promises. What he says he will do, he will do. Your faith will grow from one faith to a bigger faith. That's what faith is, faith to faith. The thing that we want to be sure of is that we develop the right kind of faith. Not a false faith or a faith that in things of the world, but a kind of faith that assures us that God is really who He says He is and that He does love us. Keeping in mind where our faith comes from, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let's go to a part of the scripture where we're told about God's love for us. Let's go to 1 John 4, 7 through 12. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. John, writing to the church, says, Beloved, and that would be the people that God loves. That would be the people that Christians love, brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Folks, that's what makes this church different, is loving one another, loving each other. I'm frustrated by this COVID-19 thing. I'm going to be able to express my love for you. You know I like hugs. But for 2 years now, we've not been able to hug like we want to. We've not, in many cases, not been able to shake hands. I'm glad that God has put each one of you in my life. That's why I like hugs. But we don't always have somebody to tell us that we love them with a hug. A hug can brighten our day. Unfortunately, with Connie so weak, I can't take the chance of exposing her to some of the bugs that are going around. So I've had to back off on hugs, even with you folks. Perhaps you can get a spiritual hug from this fourth chapter of John, okay? Because it reminds us that God loves us. And as an evidence of His living in our hearts, we will love others. John tells us that love is from God, and if you love others, you get the love from God, the love that He gives you, not to hoard, but to share. And God intends you to share His love with everyone He puts in your path. Loving is good. Loving is giving of self in servanthood. God showed us His love for us by giving us the life of His only Son to atone for all of our sins. Jesus came into this world to live a perfect life and then become the payment for our sins. In Hebrews 9:22, it tells us that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It's a big world, and there's a lot of souls in the world, and God loves them all. It took a lot of blood to pay for the sins of the whole world. In fact, it took all of the blood that Jesus had to cover that sin. It took the love of God for you, for God to send His Son to shed that blood. John tells us that if God loved us that much, we ought to love each other just as much as He loves us. And He gives us love for all the people that He brings across our path. How long has it been since any of us have led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ? See, folks, that's loving someone else. That's sharing the love of God that He has given you with someone else. Genuine love. John R. Rice, when he was pastor in Dallas, Texas, tells the story of a little lady in his church. She was a seamstress. And they had a series of services. We would call them revival meetings. And this lady came forward in the revival meetings. And she made some kind of a vow and she went back to her seat. The next year, when they had their special services again, she came forward weeping. And John R. Rice got off the platform and met her, asked her what was wrong. Sort of shames me. She was weeping because she had vowed to lead one soul a day to the Lord for the next year. And she had only led 322 people to the Lord. How many people have you led to the Lord in the last year? How many people have you vowed to God that you would lead to the Lord? You can't save them. The Holy Spirit has to do that work. But how many people have you tried? You know, that's something I miss. I miss the zeal that I had for lost people. Folks, I would like to ask you to pray with me that God will give all of us a zeal for lost people, that we might reach out to the community that is around us, that we might reach out to all those people that God puts in our path and love them for God, not be ashamed of the gospel, but love them for God. I'm not asking, and God's not asking, for you to lead 365 people to the Lord. How about just one? How about a particular one? This is the last Sunday of January. In February, from February 20th through 23rd, we're going to have special services here with Mike Schrock. He's coming to stir our hearts that we might be burdened for the lost people, that we might be reaching out for them to share with them the love of God and God's intention for them. I can't imagine leading 322 people to the Lord in a year's time. But she did. Yes, that was a different time. People were hungry for the truth. They're not hungry for the truth today. They're not hearing the truth. But we can be the truth in their life if we will reach out to them and love them for Jesus Christ. John tells us that God loved us that much that He sent His Son. Think about it. God loved you. He knew that you would be alive on this earth today. 2,000 years ago, God sent his son to die for you. For you. Nobody else. For you. Is that not worth sharing with somebody? Isn't that a good thing in your life? I want to end this message with two verses. The first is a reminder. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And folks, I trust this morning that you love Jesus Christ, that you love God. And the next verse is God's commandment to us, 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Folks, as we go from here this morning, let's go loving. Let's go loving. Love somebody today. Love somebody this week for Jesus Christ. Love them enough to give them the gospel and share with them God's love for them. Father, we cannot do these things in our own strength. But Father, you have said that you are our strength once we have Jesus Christ in our heart. So Father, as we come to the end of this service, may your will be done in our lives. May you help us to love others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, may we see some people saved in this week to come. Help us, Father. May the Holy Spirit go ahead of us and prepare hearts. And Father, may we love them for you. And we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.